Yes, folks, it is a Monday night. It is August the 28th, 2017, 8:13 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This is the super terrific Whiz Bang Gallagher Show. I am your co-host, Scott Spears, and now here is the legendary Sledgematic comedian, Gallagher.
Just carrying along, you know, I'm an instrument too.
I'm a trombone. Wait,
you're not.
I'm jazzy.
You see, when you said that, I thought you played the trombone.
No, I am
a trombone.
I am. That's my range. I love to do Stardust, Hoagie Karma. Where, do you think it costs money right there? Where's the money?
No,
start?
You have to go in like three lyrics.
Then I like to do the Teddy Bear's Picnic too.
You grew up in Florida.
Now, is the music is still on in my headphones?
Well, we've got 25 seconds. It'll go away.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Down.
It sounds
talking,
like you're asking me a question.
How we can
I
turn
gonna,
it back up if you
how
want.
How am I going to answer a question in 25 seconds? You know me.
It's going.
It's long-winded
it's going
Gallagher.
Under. There we go. You're like Dick Gregory.
I
used to ask him a
he's
question.
He's very funny. I posted a really good piece on my Leo Gallagher Facebook.
Love the man dearly. We did a tribute to him.
He did some really good jokes.
He was a very funny man, and he's like you because I could say hello. Dick Gregory's the guest today, and then I could go outside, I could drive around the block, and then come back, and he'd still be talking.
I know. Pauly's terrible. Pauly Shore. I know it. I tried to work with him. He won't listen. I used to take him to Cub Scouts. I'd go over to Mitzi's place when she first was starting. I was helping her to get the Comedy Store. I saw firsthand and was a part of the development of comedy clubs in America because that was the first one when Pauly's dad needed a place to work out in L.A., and he wanted to work there at Art LeBeau's, what it was. It was a disc jockey that owned the place and only had shows on the weekend. Yeah.
Now, just to fill, because this is your show, so I feel my duty is to fill in the gaps.
Oh, okay. You want me to tell him what I've got planned for tonight?
I was going
to
fill a gap there.
Okay, go ahead.
Pauly Shore, his mother was Mitzi Shore, who started the Comedy Store.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Right, and she'd say, will you take Pauly, like this, Gallagher, will you take Pauly to Cub Scouts? And then I'd have to run him over there, and that's what was going on back then.
Kind of a taskmaster then.
Yeah, yeah. She would choose, though, what order and what comedians could be on the list that night. So, you know, she had to know something about comedy. Instead, she just kind of married into it, which was crazy. But I started, once she got enough money to have a mansion, I said, it's time to pay the comics. And because I'm now dropping over to a mansion to pick up the kid, and I know the comics are sleeping on each other's couches, the ones that need a place and everything. And it's a workshop. We don't pay in a workshop. You're on the strip in Hollywood. Come on. So I organized the strike. First, I helped Mitzi to get the confidence to buy the place away from Art LeBeau because it was Ciro's, the mob's place. And it had a room upstairs where they had private belly dances. And the crazy thing is Mitzi let the girls have that room up there. And that's where Ellen DeGeneres and Rosie O'Donnell and that crazy screaming girl that was friends with Madonna. And they all were up there and developed. It's crazy because before it was objects. You would objectify a woman there. And then this is just a little discussion before we have my show. Now, my show is going to be a tool that you're going to use the rest of your life if you're an English speaker, because I'm going to help you to understand the language. And then tomorrow, do you know what tomorrow's show is going to be the theme of? How to talk. People don't know how to talk. They do it without thinking. They stumble into problems. Nobody has a plan or a strategy. Women do. Women do. And boys and men need to get hip. And we're going to talk about how to talk. I'm going to tell you how to get things. Because you know what men make a mistake? They open their mouth. That's what they do. They open their mouth. What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to get into this.
I see.
And tomorrow we will have Ricky French on, who is debuting his new album. And he'll be here with a couple tunes tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, I've got an iPad full of songs. I'm going to try to get him to put some music to one of my songs. I need a current thing. I need something on the radio happening now because my spirit is young, though my body is old. You know, my eyes are going. Well, actually, my eyes are going one at a time because I'm having them worked on one at a time. But what happens is you go blind. I think that life is basically just working your way down the glasses rack at the drugstore because they start off at the top, 1.0, real easy to get for all the young people. Where's grandma's 3.5s? At the bottom. So old people just crawl into the drugstore because you have to get down there anyway. I take off the 2.5s and look for the 3.5s. And then I found out that if you can wear actually 2.25s and get the same clarity now, as a 3.5.
You don't have prescription glasses?
Oh, I do now because I had one eye fixed so it could see far, and the other eye we left it alone because it wasn't as full of cataracts as the other one there. I'm glad I did, you know. I don't want to be underneath that laser light and hear him say, oh, doggone it, like that, and they burn a hole in the back of your head or something, you know. I'm not going to trust him with two eyes.
Tragedy.
Yeah, I'm suspicious. You live and learn, right? Live and learn.
Live and learn.
I can't
trust
them.
Taking it day by day.
Right, you get what you pay for. See, if I try to get a little bit cheaper, and then they don't know what they're doing, they ruin your eye.
Oh, you know what phrase I hate, by the way? It is what it is.
I know it.
What else would it be?
Well, it's for people that just want to talk without saying anything and feel like they did something. And I was talking to a Mexican the other day, and I said, would you ever say son es...
Latino.
A la lo es que lo. Es que lo or oh, S. Lo es que es, I think is how it goes.
Latino.
What?
Latino.
It was?
You say Latino.
Okay, well, you... what?
No,
if,
I'm just saying.
Well, if he was a gay Mexican, oh, yeah. Would you say Latina? Where do you stop with
that? You know, another phrase, and we heard it a lot, is the lesser of two evils.
Oh, see, that was so dumb.
At the election.
Dumb.
That's always
dumb,
the election.
You
we always...
That was a, that'd have been a stone-cold smash at election time. The lesser of two evils.
That's who we always have for a president. We always have you vote...
Why do they have to be evil?
Because the society is.
Listen,
they come from our society, and we, you know, that's what it is. I guess roses come from horse manure.
I have interviewed Michael Dukakis, and no matter what people feel about him, I don't think he's evil. I don't think George Bush was evil.
Okay, what if they know that things are not done right in Washington, but they don't say anything about it and instead just want to get along? To get along, you go along. That's what they say in Washington. And what about all these extra things like statues and earmarks? That's what they call it, that they put on the road bill every year and everybody gets there because it's hidden. What kind of... Do you want to elect somebody that's going to say, I'm going to hide my local graft and corruption in with the road bill like everybody else? No one stands up and says, this is a ridiculous waste of money every year.
Or pork belly ear.
That's what they call it. Pork.
Pork in the bill.
No, pork.
Pork. It's pork.
Because, pork short for something?
Because pork is what was originally, nobody cared about the farmers. Uh-huh. So they would slide the pork in, you know, the actual pigs, into the bills.
Okay, what we're going to do tonight, since you mentioned that,
I did.
About pork and farmers and all of that, because, you know, there is a phrase where they say, I wouldn't bet the farm. And you'd have to have a farm to even get a... you know, understand what that meant. And what if you didn't care to farm? I mean, who wants a farm if you don't farm? Then it's going to be overgrown. Everybody's going to be, no, you're in there doing drugs and playing video games. I mean, if you drive down the road and you notice that the farm's not being taken care of, you know.
Or if you know, someone, they always say he brought the house down.
Yeah, or he went through the roof, or that's out the window. Now, this is what we're going to talk about here tonight, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, English speakers at home. What are the propensities of the English language? We're going to talk about three major propensities. Then, when you go through the rest of your life and you encounter one of these, you're going to say, ooh, that's what Gallagher was talking about and pointing it out to me. And the first thing we want to talk about is called figures of speech. And I feel so sorry for anybody that doesn't speak English is trying to learn it, and they have to put up with the way we talk. And we say things like, it didn't pan out, and it doesn't involve a pan at all. And then we talk about, we're not out of the woods yet, and we're not in the woods at all. Or they talk about, well, you got to get all your ducks in a row, and you haven't got any ducks, let alone know about getting them in a row. What does happen if your ducks are in a row? Anyway, and or your goose is cooked. There's a lot of animal ones, you know. And so we knew his goose was cooked. And how do you say that to people that don't know what you're talking about? Because you're introducing things. They're listening for one main word, you know. But that's not, we just want to talk. We like talking guns. We like to say, oh, he had a hair trigger, but he was a straight shooter. I'm going to stick to my guns, you know. Stick to your guns. You know, who even knew you had some guns? But that's how we talk. We talk Western out here in America. We like feeling like we're pioneers. That's right. Like going to the store, like I was talking about, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. You might say that about the guy that your daughter brings home. And, you know, it doesn't have nothing to do with being in barrels.
That guy is clean cut.
What is the oldest phrase that you can think of that you think is in American usage? Maybe it'll come from England, because this is where we got a lot of these things. Go ahead. Yes, I'm calling on you, Scott.
Yes, I'm going to start raising my hand from now on when I want to speak.
Good. God has a question.
No, I have an answer.
Okay, good.
The oldest phrase is, since who flung the chung? You say that. You've heard of that.
No.
You've heard of... First rule of radio, you don't eat on the microphone.
It's your turn. I called on you.
Who flung...
I'm eating local potato chips, and that's what
where?
We're...
Where?
It's local? A snack food capital of the world.
What do you got there?
Mixels. Mike's.
Mixels.
They're really hearty and
you got them in cheese sauce over there.
Potato tasty. It's a long 2 hours.
Wasn't that the... since who flung the chung? It's been a long... I haven't seen him since who flung the chung.
I've never heard that phrase my entire life.
Well.
But it brings up a second propensity of the English language is to rhyme. But the first one we want to do is figures of speech. Saying something that's obvious. You're not even eating when you say I have too much on my plate. Mm-hmm. You see? But that's just the way they want to talk. Now, a new one that they're saying is, we're going to unpack that, or that's a lot to unpack. And I don't know where this comes from. All of a sudden, they want us to have a new term, and they can't wait to say it and be cool. But the other languages don't do that. This is just English. This is what we do in America. I don't even know if they do it in England. But over here, we always want to have a new way of saying something. I think the kids invented so that they are not like their parents, that they have...
Their forefathers.
They have other things that they can say.
They always say, his dance card's full.
Yeah, my dance card's full. That's what they might say that.
It means you're busy.
I know, but if you're saying that to somebody...
Maybe the audience didn't know. I was trying
audience,
to help
Audience, it's
them.
About people. I don't think that people are communicating... If a non-English speaker is in the kitchen, right, and the boss, El Jefe, comes in and he says, now, you know that low-calorie foods, natural foods are our bread and butter. And, you know, that's just really funny because bread and butter is not really so healthy. But that's how we talk, is we'll say something like that. You know, we want to hit the ground running. And people don't even know they're going to be dropped. You know, all of a sudden they might start to fear. We want to get off on the right foot. We don't want to step on anybody's toes. You see, I don't want...
break a leg.
Yeah, but you're wishing the opposite. There's a lot in show business, too. But we need to clear this up. I think we should write a book. So I'd like anybody that wants to write this book, they should be a Spanish speaker or a French speaker. It could be any language, and they figure it out for them. Give them something maybe to put on the refrigerator, and then they'll know these common phrases. They use not out of the woods every day on the... news every day. They're saying it right now about the rain down in Texas. The hurricane hit, but we're not out of the woods yet, and they're not in the woods at all. They're in a lake is what where they're noticing where they are.
But do you want the newsman to say, oh, we got more rain coming? No, see, they could say we're not out of the woods yet.
Well, if you're speaking, though, to people that you know are just learning the language, you can't be so figurative.
Do you think, though, that a lot of new Americans are watching the news?
Well, that's how they learn the language, I think. But I've never been asked, what are you saying when you say we're going to pay you under the table? I mean, does that mean there's room under the table to sit on payday and wait? I mean, what do we mean? It's not on the table yet. We talk about that. I don't know why we talk about what's on the table if everything's done under the table. But
chips.
Chips?
Chips are on the table.
Well, there's a lot in gambling, too. Keep your cards close to your vest, or it wasn't in the cards, or play your long suit. You know, this all comes from cards. Boxing has a bunch of them. I was up against the ropes. It was time to throw in the towel. Lucky I was saved by the bell. I didn't want to pull any punches. This is how we talk in sports. So any non-speaker that knows the rules of baseball, for example, might have a leg up. Hey, there's one. Might have a leg up if we said, well, we got a guy on deck. You know, and because that coming out of left field, that just pertains, I think, to Boston, where they had an insane asylum in left field.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Well, where do you think the expression came? It came out of left field.
Well, right field is, we all know right field are where the sane people go.
Okay.
And the insane people go to left.
I want to touch base with you on that.
Touch base with me.
See, that's they said that a lot, didn't they? We'll touch base later. And you know what? If you touch base with somebody, one of you is out. You can't both of you be on base. So anyway, it's hard to figure. I feel sorry for them when they're watching a sporting event, because those guys are sometimes real country, and they say things in an unusual way. You know, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. But I don't know. Have you ever gotten a gift of a horse?
Who gave you a horse? I never got a horse.
It must have been common way back then.
Hold the line, and when a comma comes in, we'll bring you in. Go ahead.
No, let's hear from somebody. Okay. I'm sure they've got one that'll
I didn't even give the number out yet. That's the brilliance of this.
Oh, go ahead, caller. Everybody knows this number over here.
Darn right. Go ahead, caller.
I didn't know if you guys were taking calls or not, but I had an expression for your guest there, Mr. Gallagher.
Go ahead.
What about if my Joe couldn't cut the mustard? Because last time I tried to cut my mustard, my butter knife got all messy.
That's a really good one, because I don't even know what that means, you know? But yeah, we use it all the time.
Cut mustard seeds, but you really can't cut mustard. You actually spread mustard. So
now, how old
are you? I never really understood that one.
How old are you? Because I think that young people aren't exposed to these things and don't care. How old are you? 30?
I'm 18 years younger than you are, Gallagher.
Just 18 years, and so you know all these phrases.
No, 18 years younger than you are.
Yeah, I get it. I'm 71, and so you must be in your 50s right there. 53, I guess.
I hate to say that F word, but sure enough, I am.
Well, why'd you tell everybody you didn't?
Hey, you're cutting the mustard.
That doesn't cut the mustard.
That doesn't cut the mustard.
Do you have any more salad dressing expressions? Can you think of any?
Salad dressing?
Well, yeah.
Mustard's not a salad dressing.
As Scott knows, I'm a purveyor of the four fine lunch buffets there in the fine city of Marion, and I tried to cut my mustard when I was at a buffet last week, and I made a mess, and the waitress kind of yelled at me for getting the table all yellow.
Let me think. Let me go to the buffet and see how many phrases I can come up with. Don't talk to him. He's small potatoes.
Small potatoes.
That's how would they ever know what that meant? Or
he's such a ham.
I know which side of the bread is buttered on.
Bread's buttered on the correct side.
Right.
Caller, go ahead. Finish.
Yeah. Also, like if you talk about profit and business, you say, "Well, this is gravy." Almost like you're getting an extra profit.
Yeah. It's gravy. All gravy.
It's all gravy. They pay you in gravy.
Also, Gallagher, what do you think about alliterations? I talk in alliterations a lot. I do it literally a lot. Like I'll say I'm mainly marvelous for Monday.
Okay, look, never say that again.
I said, I said I was somewhat superb for a Sunday in summer. But what
Wait
do you
a
think
minute.
About talking in alliteration?
Slow
like
down,
that?
Boy. Slow down.
Put your coffee down. I want to tell you something. You just made a mistake. If you're going to be a person who listens to language, you just said, I literally like alliteration. No, you alliterally like alliteration, and then that would have been fun. See? So,
yeah,
literally is in alliteration, and so you should have heard that and made the joke about it. Lucky for you, there's a long life ahead of you. You can get it right in the future.
I certainly hope so. All the great programming. Well, I hope you enjoy your stay at Marion Gallagher. It's really
I'm
going
to tell you 100 more figures of speech right
Thank
now.
Thank you.
On thin ice. That ain't. How can somebody from the South America know anything about how it is to be on? Oh, you're on thin ice there. Do they ever say that in the summertime, or do you only say that in the winter?
You can be on thin ice in the summer, I think.
I know, but it's got to kind of be.
I thought of one. I don't know if it's considered that. But how about the grass is always greener on the other side?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it sounds like if you have a Mexican as a gardener, you're kind of complaining about
Latino. Latino.
And
what is it with you?
Well,
you're eating tortilla chips and.
But you can be suspicious. You know, I did a show one time, and I had a Cuban dancing group and a Mexican act, and they wouldn't talk to each other. I didn't even know this. So you can't just say this is a whole group, this Latino thing. They're very different. They're very different.
Oh, Cuban, I think, is okay. You can say Cuban.
No, I'm pointing out the fact that they aren't. I don't know. Cubans don't want to be gardeners. The Cubans, they don't do. No, they don't.
Cubans don't want to be gardeners.
They do not. I'm from Florida. I'm from Tampa, Florida, and there was not a tradition that your gardener was a Cuban. But Mexicans seem to just love to work the trees and in the yard. Why?
No, see.
Now, what are you saying?
That's a stereotype.
Well, how else do you communicate with people and do an act? How can I talk if we're not going to go back to our experiences?
Well, I think that's a fine experience, but I had a Cuban gardener once.
You did not?
Oh, yes.
Made that up.
Fidel Santiago. He trimmed the hedges real nice.
And then rolled all the leaves.
Tight. Tightly packed.
Well,
That's the secret.
What can you say when they all wear a certain clothing? Like the Cubans like that white shirt. There's a white starched shirt.
Like a cabana.
It's a long shirt, and it has funny pockets, I think. But they all agree. Well, like a Mexican, why would you put trumpets in your song? It doesn't occur to anyone else that, oh, you know what, this song with a... Well, they have a lot of guitars, plenty of guitars, and then they have... And no one else, other cultures don't
have
them.
Their music is called salsa, and they're...
Oh, they've got all different kinds.
But salsa's two different things.
I think the salsa's down in Portuguese Brazil. They're more ranchero. They like that...
Do they like to garden?
They seem... Yeah, they're really...
They like to garden, too.
I lived in L.A. after I was 21. I went from Tampa, after I graduated from college, out to L.A.
Why does everybody in Florida live in Tampa? At 90% of the people, if I say, oh, you're from Florida? Tampa.
Well, we went there in 1995, so I don't think we were following any...
95?
No, 55.
It's a difference.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm a late bloomer.
I'm sorry.
No, I had a question about this because doesn't Florida, at Christmas, there's no snow.
Right.
And they have a Christmas song that's particular to Florida, do they not?
I don't know.
I thought they did. Maybe some. I thought
Orange Blossom Special, they play that a lot. They have oranges down there. I had a nitric acid plant and made ammonium nitrate to put on the orange trees. That's the main business down there besides Disneyland.
Nice. But I think there is a Christmas song that is of
built for
Florida.
About
Christmas
snow?
About no snow and how there's no snow at Christmas.
No. Florida was discovered by Ponce de Leon, who was the first guy to come to Florida without his wife. And now that turned into quite a tradition after time. But I liked being down there. The weather was wonderful, but it was hard to get up and go out into the rest of the country. It's to be famous, you want to just be down there in the sun and the slow.
All the time.
Yeah. What is there an expression about how things go slow and you don't, well, maybe somebody will call in. Let me give you some examples of these phrases that are, don't rock the boat. Now, you had to have been in a boat and been scared to really identify. You know, when you say a figure of speech, both people have to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of them have to have been in a boat and been afraid.
Well, one I always hear about slow is he's slower than molasses.
Take the bull by the horns. Who wants to do that? You know, that's pretty, but that's, it's not figurative, is it? Well, that'll be a feather in my cap. Now, who in the heck even has a cap, let alone want another feather, or knows people that'd be impressed that you had some feathers in your cap? But this is still how we talk. And like you said, a bird in hand worth two in the bush only makes sense if you can get them two in the bush, but that ain't easy. I would think that a bird in the hand's actually worth more than two, because you got it right there in your hand. I think that guy ain't putting his bird in the right bushes. So anyway, let me look down my list here.
Well, he tried and it left a feather in his cap.
Yeah, that's a feather in your cap.
That's the colonial people.
I want to get real far back and find one expression that has survived to this day, and no one has any experience with doing it in any way. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Now, that must have been at a time when people each had chickens and felt wealthy to have more of them. And that other people were impressed with you if you had more chickens. That all that has to be involved for that to make any sense at all. Fighting fire with fire. How smart does that sound? I don't know. It's fun to say, but I don't believe. And so I ran in there and I started the back bedroom on fire since it was in the living room. I mean, how about she knocked his socks off, and that's why he got cold feet. That's pretty funny. You can put them two together like that. So anyway, I just imagine this this talk in the kitchen one day where the boss says, now I want to put some things on the back burner for a while. I don't want to put all our eggs in one basket. I mean, that's got to confuse you. We're top drawer around here. We have so many expressions that are kitchen related or food related. And like I said, so figures of speech is... And now you'll notice a lot of them, and you'll say, Gallagher's right. I'd have to explain that to my friend from, and I'll pick some other, Angola. How about
Angola.
That?
Angola. Very nice.
They probably have some language over there, and you have to explain these things to them. I don't know how people would learn this. I have no idea. It's all so crazy. Now I'm in hot water. There's one. That sounds like you're in trouble, you know. Oh, I'm in over my head. There you go.
You don't think somebody who's new to this country could pick up on this?
No.
I'm in hot water. They wouldn't get that.
No.
They can see I'm not in water.
No. I don't. I think they're totally confused. Why is a boxing ring, for example? Why is that a ring when rings are round and it's square? It's obviously
the squared circle.
It doesn't make any sense. If I was learning English, I would have all of these questions because it doesn't... maybe they call it a ring because they're going to ring the bell. I don't know. It's around there. Did you see the fight recently?
The other night? Yeah.
How are you impressed?
I thought it was phony.
You did?
I did.
All right.
Because here's why. Let me give you a little answer to that. This McGregor fellow had never boxed in his life. So you can't take a gentleman who's never been in the squared circle before and have them get in there with the greatest boxer now and expect that to be a match.
But it was kind of even because he normally trained a lot. And he'd been off for years and was coming back just to do this one fight. So he was a little rusty.
But he knew how to box. He knew the rules. The other guy, first time ever in a boxing
match. I know, but a fight might have broke out at the boxing match. And, you know, a real street brawler don't care and just comes in. You know, Mike Tyson had no legs. No legs. He looked like a barrel on a ladder. And he just did fine with the upper body and smack. and whack you. And if there's an opening, a little guy can beat a big guy.
But he knew how to box.
Well, that little guy was supposed to come in real quick and beat him up. See?
Oh, he made a mistake.
If you're gonna, he went too far into the fight. He was supposed to beat him early.
Well, he made a big mistake because you can't go in somebody else's territory. Now, if you took Mayweather.
Did they throw in the towel?
I think they finally did it at the end of that. I believe so. Well, you can't do that. If you dropped Mayweather into an MMA fight, he wouldn't do very well.
He might, because if you can box, keep them away with your arms, and they'll never go after your legs like that.
But your legs are longer than your arms.
Have you ever watched one of them things that ends up on the floor real quick and people can't see? I would never. To me, they need to put a camera over in the middle of and looking straight down. Up the creek without a paddle.
Oh, yes.
Let's hightail it out of here. That's got to be a pretty old one.
Hightail.
When they're hiding, they're at large. Now, that's got to confuse people from another country. At large. They're at large. At grande. A grande. The criminal está a grande.
That's for all you gardeners listening right now.
He took it hook, line, and sinker. Ain't there's a lot of fishing stuff in there.
Hook, line, and sinker.
That's right. Are you off the hook? I'm going to let you off of the hook. Or the kids will say that now. That was off the hook. But they didn't say it for long. Just a couple months, and then they moved on to some other thing. Maybe some kids will call in and tell us what the latest thing to say
is. It is how it is.
There was no smoking gun. That's another gun thing. And that's important because it means that there was no evidence. But still, I mean, if you just tell somebody from another country that, they're going to wonder what you're talking about. And they shoot first and ask questions later. That's America. They seem really proud of that, and then they wonder why so many are dead in Chicago. And it's because we shoot first and we ask questions later. In the crosshairs, it backfired. I'm telling you, we love guns. Lock, stock, and barrel. Did you know that really refers to a gun?
A gun.
Yes, because they didn't have a long bit to bore the hole for the rifle. And so they had to make it like a barrel in three pieces. And so the barrel is, and then there's the lock and the stock. And so there's a piece of wood and then the trigger mechanism and then a barrel.
Because
it
happy.
Sounds like it's a farm. Lock, stock, and barrel. The lock was over on the barn and there was a barrel and we bought it all. But it has to do with guns. But that's how we love to keep your powder dry. Now, that's got to be pretty old because, but do you think kids would understand that if we said
no, what is that? I don't know.
Well,
what is
I'm
keep
sure
your
they,
powder dry?
Well, I'm sure they consider.
You ever heard that? Keep your powder dry?
Yeah. To be prepare yourself for the final battle. Keep something in reserve. But of course, they have a flintlock, and so they have their gunpowder in their horn around their neck, and they're going across a river, and they have to keep it up. Don't shoot. Do you see the whites on their eyes? Kind of the same thing as hold back a little bit.
Isn't that literal though? Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes.
Well, when you tell these young kids about powder, they're thinking cocaine, I'm sure. I don't know what. Of course, you have to keep it dry. You can't snort it.
Oh, my God. Wait. Okay.
What?
No, I.
What?
Listen, what if your powder's wet? What if your gunpowder is wet?
You get killed. You get killed. That's,
and ask questions later.
You don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
Oh, that one I've never understood.
We love bloody stuff.
Bloody.
Everybody, they say, he stabbed me in the back. I got a gut feeling. It's all bloody and corpses, and we love to talk that way. But maybe romantic. Do you have any romantic things that you might say?
Oh, what would you say?
Over the moon.
Oh, over the moon.
Over the moon. Are you really over the moon?
Well,
no,
it depends.
That's you're being romantic and exaggerating.
Over to the moon and back. Over the moon and back.
Well, how is your love like? Are you at the end of your rope?
Oh, I
must, see. See,
well, but see, how long is your rope?
Well, it's just an expression here. Or you're getting roped into it. What did I get roped into? And they'll say that even in New York City, where they're not lassoing nobody.
Yeah.
No strings attached.
Oh, there's a good one.
I wrote a little song called He's All Hat and No Kettle. I really have fun with words. I'm going to sing that maybe tomorrow. Mama said he's all hat and no cattle, no straight talk, no fiddle faddle. That's just I'm teasing him for tomorrow.
Fiddle faddle. What is fiddle faddle?
See, it ain't nothing. It's just rhyming, and that's maybe the second part we want to talk about here.
Fiddle faddle.
About the English language is because rhymes happen all the time in Latino languages. What do you want me to say?
That's good. You did it right.
I did
it.
Got
it right.
Well, I did not. I picked the male. What about the women? Yep. All of the Latinas are upset because I didn't know. Because they use the language too. It's la lingua. You know what lingua means? Tongue. It's the tongue. Yeah, it's the tongue.
Like the lizard tongue.
But because they have rhymes all the time in Spanish, it's unusual in English. And so we love it. We need it. Right. It has to be. Now, you're talking here to a guy that's a child of the 60s, and some of the hugest concepts rhymed. The space race was a very important thing that was happening between us and Russia and the reason for spending a lot of money. And then flower power. This was the focus of the anti-war movement, putting a flower in the end of a gun. And then Evel Knievel. I'm telling you, at Dream Team, the real deal. These are very important to Americans. I think you can be president if you rhyme, if your name rhymes really good. Do you have any examples of
a president whose name rhymes really good?
Well, maybe their election saying that they use. What do they call that? Their
catchphrase
of Tippy Canoe and Tyler too.
Tippy.
That's a long one, but they enjoyed that.
Tippa. Okay.
Tippy Canoe and Tyler too.
Gotcha.
So payday. Things that rhyme now.
Payday.
If you're ever going to start a business or make a product, you should consider having the name rhyme. Now this goes all the way back to Betsy Wetsy, which I'm sure wouldn't have sold if it was Martha Wetsy. I just think that Betsy is the natural, and that's what you want to have. Now Care Bears too. I mean, if it was Fred Bear. Threadbare, that's even funnier, Threadbare, it wouldn't sell. You see, products that rhyme have extra strength in America. If you've ever been to like a Handy Andy, even a store or a business, a Henny Penny, Gentle Dental, doesn't that sound like where you want to have your teeth worked on? Yeah, this is all really important, and I'm sure they've done study. I know that things work if they rhyme. And well, let's look at Milli Vanilli, Quiet Riot, the Bee Gees. Now, I know they, you know, a lot of the letters end in E and they're going to rhyme. A lot of things rhyme without even trying real hard, like Primetime. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really tried to make it rhyme, but they, I mean, you know, you're in radio, Golden Oldie.
Golden Oldies.
They love to say, now that's not a perfect rhyme, so it doesn't have the real power. Do you know why magicians are magical? Because they use rhyming words. They have the power of abracadabra. I gave you an opening and a chance. Weren't you going to say
I'm
anything?
Here. It sounds like
I thought about the one.
It all sounds like a lot of hocus pocus.
Now you've got it. Now you've got it. Now you've got it. Now you're going to.
I'm moving.
Now you're feeling it. This is what's happening.
I'm with you.
I know.
Payday.
Heyday, too.
Heyday. What's heyday? The day they get their hay?
The height. Well, you know, I really don't know if it's H-A-Y or H-E-Y.
We'll have to look. Hee-haw.
No.
No, but it didn't rhyme, but it was a very. They had a lot of hay on.
Oh,
hee-haw.
You were on the right track.
No, I got more.
You do?
I made a list somewhere.
Oh, you have a list?
Now, legal Eagle. Legal Eagle.
I love to say Legal Eagle. He was
legal
a real
eagle.
Legal Eagle.
What about the one from earlier? Hannah Montana.
Shuck Jock.
That's perfect.
Shuck Jock.
Yeah.
Howard Stern. Shuck Jock.
And that has such power. It's another story about a shock jock. It just sounds like they should be illegal.
I like this one. Phony Baloney.
Everyone loves to say that.
Phony
I don't
baloney.
Know why. See, what they do is they add a word that has no meaning. Mentioning baloney there does. Itsy bitsy. Now tell me, which were itsy? Do you use itsy with any other word? No, it's just in there to help bitsy, but it doesn't really help a lot. And teeny weeny, the last thing you want to talk about, say you were talking about a bikini and it was teeny. Yeah, but not with a weenie.
It's a song.
What? Yeah, it came from that song.
Yeah, Itsy Bitsy.
I told you, they love it. It's sing-song. It's sing-song. Our English language is rhyming. And so if you come here to learn English, be prepared.
Fancy schmancy.
To sing. Yeah. You hoity-toity. That's got to be. There's the oldest one. I bet you.
Hoity-toity.
I know the kids don't use that
one. No, I would use it.
Yeah, but you're not a kid.
Well,
these
young
people, they're not going to say hoity-toity. I think that one's going to die. These are going to die.
No.
We should do an obituary.
For hoity-toity.
For the words that went out of usage today.
Adam, put hoity-toity on the obituary list.
Yeah, it's dead.
Passed away August 28, 2017.
Right. Hoity-toity. Nobody wants to say it anymore. Let me look. I've got a list of other ones. But you mentioned Hannah Montana. But what's really strange about that?
Tell that story. Yeah,
is that her dad had a hit with "Achy Breaky Heart"? And what is breaky? I mean, really. But you can't discount this. I'm just telling you.
I don't
discount. Now, what about Nexus Exus? They should have never failed because they went by my rules and they had a good name and Lexus
company.
Nexus. It's not.
It should be.
Have you heard about them?
I think it should be.
Yeah, they should have been, but they're not. They were Looney Tunes. They.
Okie dokie.
That's what I'm saying. See, people are going to notice this now in their life. This is what I'm bringing to you. The job of the comedian, the artist, is to give you a new viewpoint. You didn't know you were doing this so much.
You know that one I don't understand? They use it in another way. They say they gave him the okie doke.
I've never heard that.
Well, I just said it.
No, I never.
Have you heard that, Terry? Okay, he's heard it. Well, don't call it on the radio. Give us a yes.
They gave him the okie doke.
They gave him the okie doke.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, that could be a flavor at Jerry's. they have a lot of them. They have
Jerry's.
Yeah, Chunky Monkey.
But where's Ben?
Ben and Jerry.
You don't like Ben?
Well, I just wanted to say the part. There's probably an airy one too. There's probably one that ends in two words end in airy.
Chunky monkey.
Yeah, the different one, hanky panky. Don't you? What does that mean?
You imagine?
Panky. What is panky?
Somebody from a foreign land coming here and
right. We were having hanky panky, and it caused a fender bender.
And then you had to get some
when
it was over. it's troublesome.
I took him out for some chunky.
What's
monkey.
In this chunky monkey?
That's right.
How much monkey?
Maui Wowie or some mellow yellow, some kind of wacky tabacky. You know, we might be able to come up with some names of companies that would work just because they have a really good name. I think people, that might be a fun game, is for people out there to give us a name of something that might be. Let me see if I have some examples. Lester the Molest. No, that's
not. Whoa!
Scary Mary Dates Demon. This is for a movie, I'm just saying. The Hostess with the Mostess. That they say that a lot. Helter Skelter in the 60s.
Charles Manson.
There it was on the wall. I mean, how can you not say
Helter
that?
Skelter.
Imagine that Manson knew the power. He must have told him right before they left. Now make it rhyme. Make sure that
everybody did.
Don't change my words on me. They like to do fantastic and plastic in the 60s also. Were you a wild child? Did you dance the Hully Gully?
The Hully Gully.
Or the Hokey Pokey? Or, it's just everywhere. And at the Sock Hop. Now, that one's not exactly a rhyme. That doesn't have the power.
See, but you were trying to explain this earlier on for those who missed that program.
Mm-hmm.
People wore their saddle shoes to the Sock Hop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you said they don't wear shoes at the Sock Hop.
No, why? It wouldn't be a sock hop and it's on the basketball court, and you're not allowed to wear your street shoes that might contain a pebble that would scratch the floor.
I tell you, people are just overly compulsive about these basketball floors.
Our culture is almost sports related, oriented, if it weren't for the red carpet. It's either what are you wearing or what record did you break?
I have one here. How about a Hobo Chateau?
See, that might work.
Instead of a homeless shelter.
Oh, instead of the homeless shelter.
Homeless shelter, hobo chateau.
Well, maybe we'll get some calls.
But is a hobo a derogatory term? You have to wonder about... We're getting a call!
What's it? What is it short for?
I don't know.
And then
hobo.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I have a phrase for Gallagher.
Go ahead.
Hey, have you ever heard this one? I want to arm wrestle you.
No.
Phony baloney call. That was a phony baloney call.
You caught him?
I did. I caught him.
In the nick of...
In the nick of time.
Now, why would we choose Nick to say a short time? If you were learning English, wouldn't you have a question of your English tutor at that time? Why would they pick Nick to be... remember Chatty Cathy?
Chatty Cathy.
Yeah.
Hobo Chateau. Phony baloney. You can also just say baloney.
Hey, let's have breakfast down at the Awful Waffle. That'd be
I don't think they'd go over that.
Well, you know what? I don't think that Edison should have done inventions. He should have gone to medical school to be a doctor, and then he'd have had Edison's
medicine.
That's right.
Bingo.
Yay. That's got to sell. That's got to sell.
90 seconds left in hour number one.
The boss sauce. That's what he'd sell.
The boss sauce. We didn't get to any songs this hour.
What songs do we have?
We had your 4 minute. I even cut down 4 minutes of the Blues Kitten song.
Let's just cut out the first two verses and go straight to the fun part about kitties don't know nothing about the Blues.
Okay,
can we do a little bit on the way out?
On the way out, we'll try to, if I can run quick here.
You know, I never knew why they don't call people that go to church steeple people. Doesn't that seem like a natural thing?
Steeple people?
Yeah. I don't know why that's not a thing.
Okay. Here we go. I think this is it. Let's hope. I should have labeled him. Is that it? Let's hope. I should have labeled him. Nope. Is that it?
Too loud in radio.
See what happens when you try to do... What in the world happened there? You know what? We're going to get out of this hour. No, we got time left. We still have time. Hour. Oh, I know what the problem is. See? If I knew what I was doing, I didn't realize that was running in the background. Here we go.
Them kiddies, they don't know nothing. They don't know nothing about the blue. Well, what do they kiddie care? With 9 lives to lose, dogs, they go to work, while felines, they just cruise. 'Cause kitties don't know nothing about the blues.
We have
they
to go to break.
Pay no bills.
You might hear more of this next hour. Stay
they
tuned.
They don't pay no attention.
The people that you meet when you're walking down the street, the people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. It could be they got to quit using words like mistake and error. And start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot. But they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney Miller, Abe Vigoda.
I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery. Speedy delivery to you, Scott.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hi, I'm Angela Thomas, Marion Beltone's hearing care practitioner. 65 million Americans suffer with hearing loss every day. Hearing loss interferes with communication, which affects every part of your life. Now offering free no-obligation hearing screenings and leasing programs. 389-5566, 559 East Center Street.
Hi, gang. Sure, you've got a boring life. But what's the answer? It's the super terrific Whiz-Bang Gallagher Show on WWGH! All next week and the week after that. When's it on? 8 o'clock from the 8th to the 8th. 10 big shows.